Extreme cold weather advisory in effect this morning.
You're a contractor. You have a contract.
All right, guys, come on. Let's do this.
A little snow and ice isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all, too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.
Hi, and welcome to my podcast. I shouldn't say this, but my name is Katie Leeson, and I'm Managing Director of Social Chain UK. And I don't know where to start. This week has just been amazing. So this episode is inspired from something that I put out on LinkedIn and then on Twitter, and it's gone viral with over 7.5 million impressions on Twitter, over 1 million views on LinkedIn. It's created such a huge debate and conversation that I felt that it was important to address it and extend the discussion, because looking at the feedback, it's definitely needed. The post proved basically that we need to be talking more about it. And if you've not seen the post, this is what it read. We need to stop glamorizing overworking, please. The absence of sleep, good diet, exercise, relaxation, and time with friends and family isn't something to be applauded. Too many people wear their burnout as a badge of honour, and it needs to change. It's blown my mind that one thing that I think has resonated with so many people across the world, and it's led to us looking in a bit more detail about what it actually means and ways that we can support by giving you some tips of how to handle burnout. So the definition of burnout was coined in the 1970s by the American psychologist Herbert Freudenberger. Originally, he applied it to helping professionals such as nurses and doctors who sacrifice their health and their social life to help their patients. But now, the general definition is that burnout is a state of emotional, physical, and mental exhaustion caused by excessive and prolonged stress. It occurs when you feel overwhelmed, emotionally drained, and unable to meet constant demands. As the stress continues, you begin to lose the interest and motivation that led you to take a certain role in the first place. Experts can't agree on exactly how to define burnout, but in recent years, it's become recognised as an actual diagnosis amongst medical professions. There are different types of burnout, according to psychologists. I'm going to go through the three with you right now. Overload burnout, which is people work harder and more frantically in search of success. They're willing to risk their health and personal life in pursuit of their ambition, and they cope by complaining. Under-challenged burnout is pretty self-explanatory. These people find no passion or enjoyment in their work, and they cope by distancing themselves from their job. And then neglect burnout. This type of burnout results from feeling helpless at work. People may feel incompetent or unable to keep up with the demands of their job. I have definitely felt the experience of overload workout. At one point, I was getting migraines pretty much every day, and I was working very, very long hours in order to help fulfill my role. Part of that now, when I look back, is definitely due to imposter syndrome and feeling like I needed to put everything else aside in order to do my job to the best of my ability. So it was a little bit of both overload and neglect, to be honest. And the neglect burnout was definitely linked to me feeling like I needed to prove myself, overwork to avoid being found out as a fraud. But it got to the point where having migraines every single day was absolutely killing me. I remember once I was driving on the motorway, and I get the aura with my migraines. So I get little spots basically in my eyes. And I was driving on the motorway to my parents' house, and I started with a migraine as I was driving. It was probably the most scary experience of my life. And it led me to go to the doctors. I think I tried so hard for so long to try and live with it. I had to go to the doctors in the end. So I definitely felt burnout. It's not healthy to be getting migraines every day, and no one should feel like that is a sign of success. And you shouldn't put things above your friends and family. It's not healthy. I would not recommend getting yourself in that position where you are struggling every single day with something that is so debilitating. And I'm going to run through the signs of burnout with you now so you can identify if it's something that you feel like you are suffering from. There are physical symptoms, which are exhaustion, headaches, and muscle aches. You get ill often. You've got a negative attitude about your work or your career. You feel like everything's overwhelming. You feel like your efforts are pointless or not appreciated. You neglect your own needs as if you're a pushover. You procrastinate. You withdraw from new responsibilities, challenges, and people. You're short-tempered, especially with colleagues. You find it difficult to stick to regular self-care, which is exercise and eating well. There's a lack of optimism and motivation. And there's another side effect, which is using drugs, food, or alcohol to cope. Overall, every day feels like a bad day. I can definitely see when I was getting those migraines all the time that I was neglecting myself. And that feeling of exhaustion and just feeling tired all the time just isn't healthy, and it's not me, and it leads to a frustration as well. So there's a few risk factors that I want to talk about alongside burnout. You're more likely to become burnt out if you have perfectionist tendencies, which is definitely what I've got. You need to be in control. Again, that's another tick for me. And you have a high-achieving type A personality, which is outgoing, ambitious, rigidly organized, highly status-conscious and impatient. People with this personality type may also be more at risk from a cardiac disease or other health problems. Also, there is a dysfunctional workplace dynamic, which is what triggered my migraines. I think there was a big change in management structure when I started to get them, and I felt like I didn't have the support and that it was all on my shoulders, and I just put myself in a position where I took on responsibility that I didn't need to, and it definitely had a detrimental effect on my health. And your burnout risk is 6 times higher if you work more than 40 hours a week. There's a difference between stress and burnout. Burnout may be the result of unrelenting stress, but it's not the same as too much stress. Stress, by and large, involves too much, too many pressures that demand too much of you physically and mentally. Burnout, on the other hand, is about not enough. Being burnt out means feeling empty and mentally exhausted, devoid of motivation and beyond caring. If excessive stress feels like you're drowning in responsibilities, burnout is a sense of being all dried up. While you're usually aware of being under a lot of stress, you don't always notice burnout when it happens. So stress is characterized by over-engagement. Your emotions are overreactive. You've got a loss of energy, and primary damage is physical. With burnout, it's characterized by disengagement. Your emotions are blunted. You've got a loss of motivation, ideals, and hope, and primary damage is emotional. So there's a difference between stress and burnout. And there's also a difference between depression and burnout. Some experts believe burnout is a risk factor for developing depression, or for those who are already diagnosed with a major depressive disorder, a trigger for a depressive episode. But they disagree that the two basically describe the same condition. Other researchers think we're misunderstanding burnout altogether, and that rather than a total separation phenomenon, it's just another name for depression. They're usually both driven by a sense of helplessness. Both burnt out and depressed people often feel ineffective, like they can't gain traction, that nothing seems to be working no matter how hard they try and get out of a slump. A study from this year found that a staggering 79% of British workers commonly experience work-related stress. Work-related stress is the most common form of stress in the UK, beating financial stress and family stress. It's also estimated that there are 17.9 million working days lost in the UK as a result of workplace stress, anxiety, or depression. And a recent study discovered that 8% of British employees work a staggering 20 hours or more each week than their contracted hours. If you're sat here nodding along now, I think it's time to have a sit back and think about where you need to make changes and how you can effectively do things to improve your life. The northwest of England has actually been found out to be the worst of it. In October, a study into UK overworking found a quarter of people in the northwest that have taken time off due to mental health issues related to their workplace are seeking to work less hours. So we can safely attribute these mental health workplace issues to working too much. The average age of burnout is now 32, and it's no surprise that millennials are referred to as the burnout generation. Women aged 20 to 35 and women aged 55 plus are likeliest to be impacted by burnout, which kind of goes with the way that my post was reacted to, looking at the gender differences in the response. For men, getting older is largely associated with less chance of burnout, with lower rates amongst those over 55. So I think it's important for us to talk about now why people overwork themselves. And in this year especially, COVID has meant that we're working more on average. Now we're working from home. There's an always on culture of being available for meetings, calls, and checking emails. And it's suddenly entered our homes. The rapid speed of this change, partnered with insufficient barriers put in place to separate work and home lives, has steadily extended the length of the working day. Half of the managers in the UK believe workers may be at increased risk of burnout following the change in working patterns and behaviours caused by the pandemic. They have every reason to be worried. 24% of UK employees experienced burnout symptoms this year. Stress-related absence from work has increased significantly in the past year, and the line between work and home is becoming increasingly blurred, and many of us have found ourselves living at work as opposed to working from home. It's so much harder to switch off and end your working day at a normal time, as it's so easy to continue working without having to worry about the commute or family commitments. I am guilty of this. What I've noticed is that I've become more addicted to checking things on my phone, even when I leave my laptop. So I will shut my laptop and I will leave the room, but I still obsessively, out of habit, now look at my email apps, my LinkedIn, every single thing. I just keep checking it. And when I've taken time off, I've realised that the first day of taking time off, I've got a real anxiety about being off, and it's not normal. And there's a few things that I've put in place to try and help with that, which I'll go through a bit later. Another reason people are overworking themselves right now is that there's a poor leadership structure and a toxic work culture. A live-to-work culture will lead to company-wide burnout, and studies show that this kind of cutthroat achievementism and presenteeism can also lead to an increase in the number of people cutting corners and bending the rules to get results. If, as a business leader, you are starting to see the consequences of workaholism and achievementism within your workplace, such as increasingly competitive, unethical, or questionable behaviour, you can turn it around. However, as an employee, your ability to redirect toxic work culture is limited. You can voice your concerns, but ultimately it's down to the senior leadership team to tackle problems stemming from the root of the company. In some workplaces, employees literally compete to see who can work the most hours and show the most dedication and commitment. And this sort of behaviour is often encouraged by business leaders, but it is not okay and never will be. I cannot say strongly enough that leaders need to lead by example. I do not want to feel like I am burning out, and I would not want any member of my team to feel like they are on that path as well. No one should feel like they have to be present in order to prove their worth. I am all about working smarter, not harder, and making sure that you've got the time to rest to be your best at your job. If you burn yourself out, or if you get to that point where you cannot be your best because you're thinking that you need to be present in order to show that you're working hard, then you are never going to do a good job, and it's going to mean that you're going to be out of a business longer than what you would be if you just took a day here or there or worked within the best way that you can. I know, especially through this pandemic, that I have had moments of lack of motivation and also times when I felt I could do better work in certain areas than I did. And I've tried to be really kind to myself, but also put that on the team as well, that if you feel like you need a break, you need a break and you've got to take it. We cannot be forcing people into working all hours God sends to try and get through a pandemic, and making sure that you speak to your team and understand their stresses and strains and make sure that they take time off is the most important thing that you can do. But it's not okay. It's not okay to have a team who feel like they're only going to progress within a company if they're there working all the hours in a day and then some. We love what we do. There's another reason why we have overworked this year. We may find passion in what we do, and the lines between I do this because I enjoy it and I do this because it's my job and I need money can get blurry. And I understand that, fully understand that. Finding a job you enjoy is great, but setting boundaries around when the work is work and when it's play can be difficult and it can exasperate the situation. It's interesting because my brother is very much, he does a job that he has loved his whole life. So he does animation. And I remember his hobby as a child was animating things. He'd be constantly creating. And he's now moved into that as a job. And his hobby is still the same thing and playing computer games. And he never really gets a minute off. And I think it's important that you recognise even a bit of a breaker in your day if you're finding that your work and your passion are blurring into one, that you take some time just to step back and get outside, get some fresh air. I understand that some people need to. If you started a business, it's obviously very intense in the beginning and pushing forward and trying to get everything done is important. But again, if you push so hard that you end up being poorly or ineffective and you can't concentrate, you're not getting the best out of yourself and the company then will not get the best out of you. So making sure that you create boundaries that give yourself a bit of time off, get out in nature, put your phone away, have some time away from it. You really need to make sure that you build that into your day. It doesn't have to be long, it can just be an hour, but really having that separation can also actually help with creative thinking. So being outside or doing something different from just the slog can actually bring better ideas to the table than if you're just constantly working. I often get my best ideas when I go for a wee. That's where the name of the podcast came from, because we were really trying to think about what it should be called and it took ages, and then I went for a wee and it popped into my head. And the final thing that I want to talk about that makes me just so angry is the hustle porn stars. And in my opinion, this is the most ridiculous and unjustified reason for overworking. There are a lot of people on social media that promote the idea that you've got to hustle and grind in order to achieve the same sort of monetary success that they have. They glamorize the concept of overworking. They encourage people to wear their burnout as a badge of honor. They tell people that if they want to get somewhere in life, you have to make work your life and make kinds of ridiculous sacrifices in order to achieve anything. I won't name drop, but I think we all know a few of these people. They'll post on LinkedIn and Instagram about how they've worked since 2 a.m. this morning and only just stopped now at 9 p.m. and they expect some sort of congratulations for that. I think it is ridiculous. Hustle porn is very prevalent within the tech sector. And it's thought to have been its place of birth many years ago, where big paychecks validate long hours and normalize a huge workload. I shouldn't say this, but hustle porn is pathetic. I don't think that it's healthy for anyone to try and work themselves into exhaustion to try and earn money. There was one statement going around the internet not that long ago: you've got as many hours in the day as Beyonce has. Like, you're not good enough if you're not doing all the things that Beyonce does, without the context of the fact that she's got all this team behind her and everything else. And the glamorization of hustling and hustle culture is something that makes me sick to my stomach. Why would you put your own health and well-being above against something like a financial gain? Because there is evidence that overworking doesn't work. We do our best work. when we work 35 to 40 hours a week. After that, it's all downhill. And with every additional hour worked, reducing productivity and efficiency happens. After 55 hours a week, we're essentially useless. And it can also be deadly. So working more than 55 hours a week is associated with an increased risk of stroke and heart attack compared to those working 35 to 40 hours a week. So you have to avoid overworking, if not for the sake of your mental health, but the quality of your work. I know when you're starting out a business or you're on that initial journey in a new job, things can feel very intense. But look at the stats. You do not have to overwork to be effective. What employees can do to stop overworking? You need to understand why you overwork. Which of the reasons from the ones I've listed are the reasons why you're overworking? You've got to talk to someone about it. If it's a toxic work culture, talk to your line manager or someone in the company that you can trust. If this issue cannot be resolved by your workplace, unfortunately, there's very little you could do, and I would suggest you leave that company. Identify something you'd rather be doing. So would you rather be spending time with your family, doing a hobby, doing fitness exercises, or something else? You've got to learn to say no. I think it's hard for people outside of your immediate world to know when you've been taking on too much sometimes. And if you're constantly saying yes without really being honest about how you're feeling, it can be hard for the person who's asking you to do something to notice if you are overworking, especially right now when we're working from home and no one's in constant contact with everybody. You have to really stand up for yourself and be able to say no in a moment of, I need a break. I have to take time off my phone. I can't do this right now. I've got too much on. Be really strong on it and say, you're not going to get the best out of me if I do this. Readjust your expectations of yourself. Avoid comparison. Just focus on doing the best you can. And that is never more so important than right now. As I said, everyone will ebb and flow in their feelings of how they are responding to this pandemic and the second lockdown. And only you know yourself the best. So focus on what you can do to the best of your ability. See what's on your to-do list that doesn't bring big gains and cut it. I was taught a very useful skill a long time ago about building your to-do list into a four quadrant chart, looking at what needs doing right now, what is important but doesn't really need doing right now, and what's not important at all, and then getting rid of the things that aren't important because they're the things that are going to overwhelm you. The final thing is about shaking up your routine. And this is something that I want to do as of next week. I've said it so many times on this podcast and also across social that I've tried to create a better morning routine. And in the last couple of weeks, I've noticed that because it's dark at night and I can't get out to do a walk, I've not left the house in the last 3 days. And I was going for a walk in the morning before I started work. And I was treating myself to a coffee for my walk so I could have something that I really enjoyed whilst getting some fresh air and taking advantage of the lighter morning rather than just getting on with work. And it actually was helping. I just need to create it into a habit because I've fallen back into an old routine. So while you're working from home, you really need to set your boundaries. You need to have a specific work from home space to separate your living area. And you need to clearly communicate the start and finish times of your office with the people that you live with. And you've got to block time in your calendar and share that with your colleagues. Make sure you're giving yourself time to eat. I have spoken to so many people who right now, myself included, who just go from video call to video call and leave very little time to be able to make something nutritious for lunch. That is going to impact our ability to do good work. Close your home office door at 6 p.m. every day and don't go back to your home office until 9 a.m. the next morning. I need to learn this. As I said before, I keep looking at my phone even when I'm not at my desk. I need to learn that I can switch off and everything will be okay until the next day. It's a really hard thing to crack, but it takes a lot of focus and time and it's very much worth it. Minimize distractions so you don't have to make up the hours lost to them. Turn your social media notifications off. Move your phone away from you. What I have started doing is that when I'm on video calls, I've turned my WhatsApp off on my phone. so I don't get distracted from people messaging me. I've also, at night now, I've set my phone so at 10 o'clock every night, every app gets disabled and I can't use it unless I actively click on it and ask for an extension on the time. That is to give me a better sleeping pattern, because otherwise I will never separate myself from work. It's definitely having a benefit on my life. I'm sleeping better alongside a couple of other things, but my sleep has definitely been affected throughout the lockdown. But this is one thing that's really helped me to begin to switch off from the working day. I have created a little home office. I stupidly went to IKEA on the days before lockdown, which was probably the worst decision I've ever made. But I now have a whiteboard that I can jot down notes when it comes up. I've got some pictures that make me happy on the wall, different things that just really make me feel comfortable in my working space. And I know that I can shut the door and leave it at the end of the day. As an employer of people, there are a few things that you can do to help stop overworking. Give regular feedback and recognition. Employees often compensate for feelings of insecurity and underconfidence by seeking out recognition and compliments from their managers. Again, fully guilty of this. I can completely say that I search out for recognition in my life. I want everyone to tell me that they love me. A common way of doing this is putting in longer and longer hours in the office to be seen as the first in, last out, and someone who's dedicated. And I say that with such disdain. It's something our societal and workplace cultures value, but it is usually a slippery slope. It's virtually the same now. We're working from home. We all know people that send emails at 10 p.m. and schedule Zoom calls for 8 a.m. Employees that begin to work longer and longer hours until they've received recognition are at risk of overworking and burning out. Recognition and acknowledging employees requires very little effort, but it does take time. It can greatly change the attitude of employees and reduce instances of overwork for the sake of being noticed. I think it's important that you take your time to really share wins and good work with the team. What we've done at Social Chain is we have a weekly creative review in which we do different teams give out nominations for someone who's worked really hard in that week. And we also have Facebook Workplace that allows us to share any wins, big or small, personal or professional, with the rest of the team. So everyone within Social Chain can see that feedback loop. We also have, for the senior leadership team, it's important that we get feedback, and the happiness team do regular check-ins with everybody to understand the feeling of the company. And then we can make, as leaders, the right changes in the right places to make everyone feel better. You need, as a leader, to promote a healthy work-life balance. I have said this so many times, you can't be what you can't see. And first and foremost, managers need to lead by example. An easy and effective way to do this is by refraining from sending late night messages and weekend email correspondence. I do not do that. I don't send anything out of hours unless it's absolutely urgent and it's like an SOS situation. I also, even if I have to work late, I think of the person receiving the email. There is a very good tip on both Outlook, Gmail, and also on Microsoft emails where you can set a send timer. So if you feel like, for your own mental health, that you want to work on a Sunday to clear your inbox and reply to a few emails, please, I am begging you, set a timer so that email does not get sent to that person you're sending it to until 8 a.m., 9 a.m. on Monday morning. There is a way of doing it. Please, please, please give people their space and understand and respect that outside of work hours is their time. Ask your employees what they need. You can't fix a problem if you don't know it exists. And that's exactly why I am needing a feedback loop. And we're putting out a great big fat survey of 2020 to the staff in the next few weeks to really understand how people are feeling and what they need from us. And encourage and allow flexible working where and when it suits people best. I know, as I've said before, that I have gone through ebbs and flows of motivation and passion throughout this lockdown, and I need to be able to work in a way that gets the best out of me. My biggest recommendation for anyone who's looking to lead a team right now is treat people like you want to be treated. If you need that time to be better, If that means you've got to have an hour's lunch and you need to get some fresh air, allow the same of your team. And also lead by example. You need to be the person that's taking time off to show that it's okay that everyone else can take time off. If you're at the top of a business and you're not taking a holiday, no one else will take a holiday. So you need to take time off to show that it's okay. And that leads me on to the final thing, which studies have shown that holidays are linked to increased productivity and improved health and happiness, both inside and outside the office. At Social Chain, we have paid unlimited holidays. And earlier in the year, we also gave everyone a day off at the same time for World Mental Health Day. That was because we wanted everyone to really check in with themselves and understand their own wellness. And unlimited holidays have got a bit of a negative perception in that you're doing it as reverse psychology, so people never take holidays. The reality goes back to the point previously that as a leader, you need to be taking that time off in order to show that it's okay. And unlimited holidays work amazingly well if everyone knows the boundaries of how they can work. If they're taking time off, that's the benefit of the company. They should definitely take time off. No people should be off at the same time. It's all about doing what's the right interest of the company, and we encourage what's the right interest of Social Chain and ensuring that people get the time off they need to make themselves better at their job. It's so important that as leaders of a business, you know the feeling of a team, you understand what's going on at a level, and especially right now, over-communicating is something that is so important to make people feel like they're not treading water and things aren't terrible. I think we've had so much bad news this year that can feel to people when you're working on your own in your house without that regular communication that you would have in an office, that things can probably feel a little bit on the worst side of things. So as a leader in a business or as a manager, it's very important that you give regular feedback and update where the company's up to, how things are going, so then people know that they don't have to really slog their guts out to try and make a situation better. How do you recover from burnout? I know this is probably something that everyone wants to discuss. You need to exercise and get fresh air. As I say, get outside. If you need to think about when to do it, build it into your day. You've got to do more of what makes you happy and step away from work. One of the reasons that I ordered Vogue, the magazine, every month for the next few months is so I can step away from my phone and really have a closure on that and give myself time into something else. Meditation is absolutely amazing. It's one of the best things you could do. Practicing mindfulness as well. You don't have to really think about mindfulness, like force it, but you can take time. Even if you're making your morning coffee, think about the process of making coffee. Enjoy the smell, enjoy the taste. Really tune into what's going on when you're having your first coffee, rather than thinking of a number of other things at the same time. I'm really guilty of when I'm eating my dinner, not enjoying the taste of what I'm eating because my head is in so many places. So actively doing mindful eating, actually really, you can really enjoy what you eat, and it can actually it can kick you into making more nutritious and healthy food. Getting sleep. And I know it's been tricky. My sleep has definitely been interrupted trying to get to sleep and then also having the strangest dreams. I've not had a peaceful sleep. So I've spent a lot of time in the last few months trying to understand how I can get better sleep. And I've shared on my Instagram some tips and things that you can try that don't cost the earth as ways that you can help your sleep pattern. Schedule relaxation time. One of the reasons that I put these blockers on my apps is because I know that I need to switch off before I go to bed. I've also bought blue light reflecting glasses, which you've probably seen on my social. It's not because I'm getting old. It's because I want to make sure that my eyes aren't strained. And when I come to 10 o'clock, when all my apps get switched off, my eyes aren't so drained that it stops me from getting to sleep. Reduce your caffeine intake and try not to take as much caffeine later in the day. Having caffeine can make you feel more anxious, so it's recognizing what your triggers are and being able to flex around them. Talk about your feelings. Find the people that you know you can go to and trust that will help you feel better and give you some tips and just really support you at the time. And let your employer know that you need time off. And that's okay. As someone who had to take time out for a mental health issue, it is nerve-wracking telling your line manager. But believe me, you are better to that company if you take the time off than you are if you just carry on, because you're no good to anyone if you can't do your job properly. I've been intrigued by the Scandinavian work model for a number of years, and I've been looking into the benefits of it because I think it's really interesting. The Scandinavian work model places an emphasis on happiness and employee satisfaction. This, in turn, has seen high levels of productivity and employee retention. In a recent study, the UK came 16th amongst the most productive countries. Denmark and Norway were both in the top 10, despite having shorter working hours. So they're obviously doing something right. Denmark's advanced work culture is probably one of the factors that explains the country's top ranking in world happiness reports. There's something in Scandinavia that's called the philosophy of Jantelov. The term can be summed up as an idea of equality, where individuals shouldn't think of themselves as being any better than the rest of the community. It's because of that philosophy that instead of having to earn trust, employees are trusted and respected from the beginning by their superiors, which makes the atmosphere more relaxed and open. There's a you say what you mean and you mean what you say attitude in Danish workplaces, which help clear the air, and it limits the amount of office politics that occur. And I've been listening to the Netflix book on culture, and they very much tie into that philosophy. The success of Netflix, they tie back to having a culture of candor, whereby you give feedback in that moment, and giving feedback isn't a negative thing. It's something that you're doing. And if you don't give feedback, you're not doing the right thing by Netflix. And it's something that I really want to encourage within Social Chain. And I'm trying to figure that out right now. In Finland since the 90s, its Working Hours Act has allowed workers to adjust their start or end time by up to 3 hours. As if that weren't enough, in January 2020, the updated act allowed employees to determine the timing and location of their work for at least half of their regular working hours. In Sweden, only around 1% of people work very long hours. In 2015, some businesses in the country implemented 6-hour workdays. They also offer workers 480 days of parental leave on around 80% of their salary. It's a country known for its generous paternity benefits. Is shorter working week a good idea? Recently, business figures, trade union leaders, and left-wing politicians from across Europe began joining forces to demand shorter working hours. Supporters of the 4-day week say it allows people to do more volunteer work, childcare, and other worthwhile activities, whilst also helping battle climate change. And new research shows that the UK switching to a 4-day work week could create up to 500,000 public sector jobs. I am all for this, and it's something that I have been looking into, how we could incorporate some of the learnings from the Scandinavian culture into Social Chain. I think they're leaps and bounds again ahead of everyone else, but they are also very much in tune with the way that I want Social Chain to work. I want everyone in the company to be happy and feel like they can work within their best ways of working. And it's something that, as I say, we have to work within our clients, having been a client service industry, we have to work within the client's requests to a certain extent. So it's not, we can't just close if the rest of the country don't close, but it is something that I have looked into as to whether we could do it on a flexible basis. So it's something that I'm definitely considering for the future. Would I like to work a 6-hour working day? I don't know if I would. I think for me, it's all about freedom, and it's something that I try and encourage across the leaders at Social Chain, is giving people the freedom to work how and where and when they want to work. As I said earlier, like, treat people like you want to be treated. Some days I might want to work fewer hours. Some days I might want to work more hours. And I think it's all about balance and understanding that you have a week to get something done, or you've got your time frame. You know, as a business leader, if someone isn't pulling their weight, and you can pick up that as to why they might be, whether that's a performance thing or whether it is a mental health issue or whether they're just struggling and unhappy. So really being in tune with your staff and the work that's happening means that you can let go a little bit of that control of having everyone in the office at the same time. So for me, I don't think I'd like to work a 6-hour day. I would like to just be able to build around a working pattern that
gets the best out of me. And I think that's what needs to change. It's people being so strict on having this is the way it's always been. But I think the way this year, if it's taught us anything, is that our family time and having time within our community is probably the most important thing that we can have. And we need to make sure that we take advantage of that, and being able to work in the best way possible that's right for us and right for the business is the thing that we need to focus on. I've talked before about burnout and it being justified. And when I put the post out, I got so many different reactions from people, quite rightly as well. Like, I always will welcome a challenge and some different thoughts and opinions. And I completely get it that some people have to work extra hours to feed their family. And there's a necessity into why some people are hitting burnout. The thing that really bugs me about burnout is that hustle culture and someone glamorizing the fact that you should be working hard in order to achieve greatness. For me, that's completely ridiculous. For me, if you're in a company that's forcing toxic company culture and it doesn't fit with the way you want to work, leave, find somewhere else. There are so many companies now that are trying to promote the health and well-being and happiness of its staff that you will find something else. People do conflict working hard with overworking, and you need to be able to make the distinction between the two. You can be committed and take time off. You can be a good leader and delegate tasks. You can be consistent and have an occasional bad day. You can be a problem solver and ask for help. And you can be flexible and prioritize family. You can work hard without overworking yourself. And it's time to change. I managed to catch myself before I went too far. And I encourage you all to look inside and figure out where you are on that journey, because burnout will never be cool. If this episode has resonated with you, please give me a little review. I love those 5 stars. Please give us the 5 stars. We want them. But thank you so much for listening. I know how important this message is, and I really, really, really hope that it's given you some inspiration of ways of looking at your own life and seeing whether you can make changes to improve your own work-life blend. Have a wonderful week, and I will see you next week.